Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. And of course, we're your partners in wine and crime and everything in between.
And I know we said we wouldn't be back this week, but surprise,
we're here. We are codependent on you guys. We can't, if that's not obvious enough. And also, because we are shockingly not in charge of ABC programming, and they threw something at us.
Yes, they threw a 2020 special at us. And I mean, we couldn't not watch it because then otherwise, like, everyone would be DMing us. Also, I have to say, guys, I'm sorry, but I do not know where you can watch it. I would check out abc.com.
I think you can watch it on abc.com.
Perfect.
But you have to have like a com cable login type.
Okay, so call get your mom's cable login.
Yeah, steal that shit. I also want to petition 2020 to change the name of their documentary because I can't see that number anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely triggering.
And then I also was like, is it 2020 vision? I didn't know the history. I'll Google that later. You guys don't care
about
that.
What is that about? I assumed it was sort of the vision, but
I'm like, are we doing fractions here?
Yeah, right. I feel like if you're going to call it 2020, then you need to solve the case every time.
Yeah, right. And also, I mean, we'll get into it. If you could tell how oftentimes bored I was during this special, those are the questions I was asking myself in my head.
Oh, yeah. I straight up did not watch the first half hour, but I was also just like, it's just going to be rehashing of stuff that I already know. So I was like, okay, I'm going to save my energy.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of pageant videos, I think, was the first half hour, which was kind of
depressing. That stuff was like kind of creepy to watch.
Yeah.
It was creepy to watch like a child who almost looks like an adult.
I know, who is Katy Perry.
Lots going on.
Yeah, I know. It was really sobering to say, or it's just like, I don't know the pageant world, but it is really interesting to see how much video content they had of her. And it made it seem like she was even though I knew her age and everything, it made her seem so much older because I was like, how do they have all these home videos? And then I realized so much of it is from the pageants.
Yeah, totally. That part was definitely like kind of weird. Like, it's just, I think child pageants are kind of weird in general because like all kids, I feel like, put on pageants and like to put on a show. That's just like being a 6-year-old, right?
Yeah.
And like none of these kids are like especially talented singers. They're just like being kids and dancing around, and like it's weird when you dress them up in like professional costumes.
I know, it's kind of a hard, what I was thinking, and I mean, I wonder if there is an episode in pageantry deep diving, but I kept on thinking, I was like, this is just like peddling like what kids do for fun, but then making it a competition and making pressure put on it. Like,
yes,
every kid likes to play dress up, but then you're like, your bow is off, like kiltered, and then it's like a panic cry, and then you're wondering why Stacy, age 25, has like trust issues and is like afraid of being imperfect, and it's like, oh,
no, truly. Yeah, it's like, I feel like we've all done this, but we've done it in our living room just for our family on Thanksgiving. And they're like, okay, that's nice, dear.
I know. I would be terrified. Like, I when I was watching it, though, like, there was a part of me that I was like, fuck, if I have kids, would I become like a pageant parent? Like, would I make them succeed for me when I'm like, okay, I wasn't on Disney Channel when I was 8, but you best fucking believe you'll be on Disney Plus. So who knows?
Oh, my God. I don't know. But so we did watch the 2020 special. They came out on ABC. I mean, should we just start with overall thoughts and then...
I guess we'll go into overall thoughts. Yeah, what was you going into it? What was your expectation and what did you leave with?
So truthfully, going into it, I know better than to expect new groundbreaking info, but I mm-hmm. guess I thought I would get something since, you know, why bother doing this if you're not going to have
it a lot. They teased this 2020 special up a lot, and that's
yeah. So I was expecting something. I think really all they had was like a clip of Lou Smith, who was like a detective on the case, then left the case, then decided to just do his own private work to advance his theory that an intruder killed JonBenet Ramsey. And it was just like an old, like a home video basically of him talking. And I was like, that's not evidence.
Yeah. And then like his granddaughter's podcast.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was like, honestly, respect. I feel like this whole thing was just a marketing special for like their podcast, like someone else's venture, like, and you know?
Right. Which, like, I mean, hats off to them. I don't want to shade them because they seem very nice and very like passionate about what they're doing. But yeah, I was so curious because I was like, wait, are they part of ABC? Because I didn't read their client at first, then I realized that they were his granddaughter. And I was like, oh, okay. But no, I had the same thoughts as you. I was kind of, I feel like this case, it's one of the ones that, of course, everyone sees. And it's such an obsession and talking point at this point where so many people know about it.
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, so I get why they were deciding to do a 2020 special on it, because it is such a case people want answers for and everyone has such focused theories on. But then at the same time, I feel like because of that, they should have known the stakes would be so much higher for what it's not like a case that not a lot of people are well versed on. So they could like whip out a home video and be like, oh, okay, this is new. It's sort of, it's kind of, I'm like, all the info they were bringing on, I'm like, people have been talking about that being the fact on the internet for years now. So it was kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to bring this up again, like you have to have something really new to add into the equation. One thing I thought about that was interesting, though, was I feel like now almost everyone, I would say overwhelmingly everyone that follows us, and honestly, most people that I talk to, overwhelmingly thinks Burke did it. Let's see, I put up a theory. I put up a poll.
Oh, yeah, get some. What are some?
Let's get some data.
Poll and results. This is like John King on CNN.
Right. Okay. But one thing that I do think is interesting about the fact that basically everyone thinks, everyone I've talked to, like, thinks that Burke did it. They believe that he hit JonBenet Ramsey with the flashlight over the head. It didn't mean to kill her. And then the family covered it up. So, okay. I did a vibe check midway through the documentary. And 92% of our listeners thought the family did it.
Yeah.
But I will say that I feel like if it wasn't for that, I think it was CBS documentary, like, you know, 2-3 years ago, I don't think that I don't know if anyone would have this theory.
I know. Well, and it's also really interesting too, because I watched it with my mom because I'm still home. When I was watching it with her, she was not convinced at all that it was the family. And I mean, I don't know if she's just very much like a mom watching this being like, what? No. Type of thing, because she's not delving deep into anything online. But she was kind of from me and her had the conversation after, which was interesting, where she was like, but they loved her and like used her as like their, like, lack of a better word, a show pony, almost like in a pageant. And I was like, well, it wasn't the parents, it was the brother. And she was like, but he seemed like too young to do it. But I kind of am. So that was when me and her divided, that I asked, I was like, so do you think an intruder did it? And she was like, I don't trust the boots. And I was like, okay.
I mean, I do agree that I think one thing that we like that is kind of lost to us since we don't have kids is just the element of how horrible this was, how gruesome it is, and how it's really hard to imagine someone doing that to their own family member and their child.
Yeah. And then also, well, that was the other thing too, where it actually was very interesting, like, look, like watching this with someone who was a parent, because then with all the interviews and everything after, my mom was like, they don't know what the fuck they're like, they just buried their like child. Like, they're doing an interview, they don't know what they're saying. And then people are like analyzing their words. Like,
yeah,
they just want to sit at home and cry, but they have to do this to try to find out, or like, because the press is not leaving them alone, type of thing. So it was kind of just like a monster ball snowball effect of that. And then it made me realize too that, I mean, we talk so much about how the police kind of being like the B team and fucking truly everything up at the crime scene. Being so bad, like, truly, it was like, those were not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles helping them out. But the flip side of that is just how much the press in this, and of course, we always talk about how like press overdoes stuff, but like taking these grieving parents and then like analyzing stuff they're doing is kind of a moot point because like they're not themselves. They're spiraling. Like they don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of, in general, I try to avoid doing this of being like, oh, well, this person was acting weird in this interview. They're guilty. I hopefully am never going to have to imagine a situation in which I am being looked at by the police for a murder. And I can't say how I would act. So I agree with you that trying to analyze people's behaviors based on how you think you'd act is kind of like a pointless and I think unfair exercise.
Yeah.
Even with the Ramses, like, yeah, maybe they were a little weird, but like, I think Patsy was like barred the fuck out. I think, yeah. I mean, they admitted like she was obviously heavily medicated as one would be type of situation. And I don't think it's fair to judge how people behave when they're like clearly in shock.
Right. Like the mom survives a harrowing like cancer, gets through that.
Yeah.
Deals with this. Oh my God. And then you're like, yeah. And then also it's the other thing too, the added layer, like they're not used to being on TV. So there's the added level of like nervousness with that. So I think it is whenever people do talk about like, oh my God, this is this action or this movement. And it's kind of like, they don't know they don't know what's going on right there.
Right. Do you think that the documentary changed? Well, I'm assuming that we both thought that the family had like did it. Right.
Okay. I think it was the Burke brother. Yeah.
For you, did this change your viewpoint at all?
No, it was kind of, I mean, because it's interesting because I feel like because I have never, the intruder theory, of course, is there. And of course, you have to know about it, but I never click more into it. And mainly because I'm just kind of like, you know what I mean? So it was interesting to like see the added case points of that where it's like, okay, but the cobweb and how they kind of can break it down where it's like, okay, these cobwebs, I will say those cobwebs are very tiny. So like someone could go through the window.
Yeah. The cobweb I thought was always a little bit like kind of a reach.
Yeah. And also I'm kind of like spiders make fucking cobwebs really fucking fast. So like,
I mean, now I did feel like an idiot having to admit that to you. But once someone brought that up in the documentary, I was like, okay, that's a valid point that I did not consider before.
Right, where it's just kind of like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah, so there were a lot of interesting points on the other end that did not sway me, but did open my eyes to other options. And then the other thing, too, and I know people were messaging about this, too, I had no clue how many sexual predators they lived around, which is kind of shocking because, I mean, as someone who did drive by the house because my friend really wanted to. And
you
then
did?
I hated it so much because I don't fuck with that shit. I don't fuck, like, I respect the ghosts. I respect all these things. I don't want to mess. But my friend really wanted to do it, and I was visiting her in Boulder. We drove by. Billie Eilish came on the radio, so I'm already fucking terrified because it's, like, her being, like, I'm crying, and I'm, like, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, truly, like, communicating to Gen Z to, like, overtake us. And then as we do it, I'm not even joking, the car battery dies.
Oh, my God.
And I literally, in this moment, I was like, this is karma. This is karmatic energy hitting us. Luckily, someone was able to take us away, but it was terrifying. But what I was getting at to this point, it was a very much like standard neighborhood. So that's why I was so shocked that there would be so many sexual predators there.
Definitely. Although to be fair, someone had DM'd us this, and this is a good point. You could be on the you could be on the registry for a number of things. It doesn't necessarily mean that you were like a child predator.
What number of things? You know what? Like, I feel like you got to do something.
I mean, it could obviously be like a sex crime. It could be like, you know, someone who groped someone. And not that any of these things are okay, but I'm just saying that it's not like necessarily there were like five child molesters within a block from them. Like,
I was going to say, but you're not going to get on that list for stealing earrings from Claire. So there is
no, you're not. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they were living around a bunch of pedophiles.
Like, that's interesting. Well, then, because that kind of brought, because then my wheel started turning with that, where I was like, okay, well, there are these people, maybe not all predators, but probably statistically some. And then you have this girl who was like a pageant queen, always like getting press and stuff like that. It kind of did not completely change my mind, but it really made me think more of like, okay, well, that could potentially be an avenue that could be like discovered.
Yeah. So when I polled our audience, 72% said it did not change their view at all. But we got a 28% that said it changed a little. So most people said that the presence of the foreign DNA that they announced that was found like on the leggings and in the underwear, that was the biggest factor for a lot of people. I was completely like, I was watching it and I was totally that person who was just like, every time they said something, I was like, yeah, but what they're not saying is this. So yeah. I was probably really annoying to watch it with. Like with the foreign DNA. So, and I dug up my old notes from when we covered this back in 2018. So truly a throwback.
Oof, yeah.
So basically like the DNA did seem compelling. However, that evidence is kind of disputed. So like in 2016, a bunch of forensic experts disputed those findings. And also Mary Lacey, who was the DA at the time, her decision to exonerate the family. And a few forensic experts said basically that one sample of DNA could have been a composite from multiple people, which would make it essentially worthless. And also they basically said that all the DNA could have been a result of inconsequential contact with other people, which is how USA Today puts it. Or basically what we know is like touch or transfer DNA. And it's funny because in the documentary that, or in 2020, there was a moment where one of the, I forget his name, but whatever. He was like the guy who was sitting at the table talking to the other lady who were kind of moving this whole thing along. He bangs on the table and he goes, boom, like now my DNA is on this table. And
I'm
like,
exactly. Yeah.
You're kind of proving the point that that touch DNA doesn't really mean that someone was like in that house.
Well, right, because that's like when he was like, boom, boom. So I was like, that could be like some, like if someone was just happened, if it was like a new pair of like jeans, for example, or something like that. And then I went to the store to get them, but a sales associate put them down, handed them, you know what I mean? Like their right. DNA would be on it in that way. So that really, I know when he was like getting to that point, at first I was like, oh, whoa. Like I had like that 70s show basement energy where I was like, oh, DNA is weird, man. But then I was like, oh, wait, not actually.
Yeah. And also I read that even like the DNA that was found under the fingernails, like they think it could have just been like from either the coroner or whoever was like kind of clipping her nails post-mortem. Like there could have just gotten DNA under there.
That's true.
I'm not sure. I think, I don't know. I kind of feel overall the documentary was like clearly pretty biased.
Without a doubt.
And they, well, I mean, not that the other one wasn't, because it completely was. But it's just like, okay, you can't rehash the same points and frame it as new evidence and not even bring up the fact, like the counterpoints.
Well, that's, yeah, it was very much that. And then also whenever they would be like, this ransom note's weird, I want to be like, can we talk about why? Like, can we like...
Because it's like 18 pages front to back.
Yeah, with like, and they're like, well, the paper was from here. Weird, but this would be where the break, and I would be like, well, it's funny, they never really brought up any other that much avenues. I know it was kind of more the only thing I got out of it, I was like, it was interesting to learn more about Lou, the detective, I guess. I was like, he seemed like a nice guy who's passionate about his job, and I love that like his granddaughters are like continuing his legacy, but it was kind of, I was like, this is not really, I feel like it was less a documentary about new findings. It was Lou, not new. Yeah.
Totally. Lou, not new. Totally. One thing that I also thought was funny was like they were talking about all the evidence and they're like, yeah, the ransom note was written on a notepad in the house and it was using a pen in the house. And like the garrote was fashioned with like materials that they found in some art box in the basement or whatever. And I'm like, okay, do you realize what you're saying? You're essentially saying that a killer broke into the house, MacGyvered the whole murder scene, and then bounced and left a ransom note with no intention to follow through on the actual ransom. Like, do you realize how I would say that sounds?
Right. It gets very much like conspiracy theory in that regard. And I do think it's kind of like the reason that everyone spirals like this is because, and I mean, this point is stressed so much, and I even brought it up earlier, but like how much they messed up the crime scene.
Oh, yeah.
And then also when the cop was like, I had 18 bullets. Why'd you count? I didn't think we'd all leave here alive. She didn't have a country accent. And I was kind of like, okay. I'm like, you were going to shoot. Like, and also,
yeah, what is this, like a Knives Out situation?
Yeah. Because I was so confused. Like, you think this family, like, that you could be, like, of murder, but like you're gonna have to have like a whole like 10-star like gun situation with them. Like, I don't think so, totally.
So weird. Another person said that the door latch was compelling. I forgot which part that was.
Door latch.
Yeah, I don't know. I did know that the window was kind of unlatched and there was like a suitcase right under the window.
Yes.
Which definitely seems like maybe somebody did kind of roll the suitcase up to the window to give them a boost.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Part of me is like, if the suitcase was empty, I think you would just knock it over. Like, it would have to be pretty hefty to support someone's weight.
Yeah, that's actually true, because like a suitcase, because we're not talking away luggage yet. Like, this is like old school suitcases that aren't really that sturdy.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, my police academy, like my dumb musings. I don't know. I think it was interesting because I think like the thing about this case is every piece of evidence kind of has like another side to it. Like the stun gun that they brought up was kind of compelling too.
Yeah.
However, so back when I researched this case, I read this book called Foreign Faction by A. James Kohler, who was the lead detective on the case at the time. And according to this book, the marks from the stun gun were characterized by the coroner as abrasions, whereas a stun gun would leave burn marks. And basically, in 2020, they say that it was like a perfect match. In this book, it says it was close but not perfect. And the manufacturer of the stun guns that they thought were used said, like, under no uncertain terms, that device wouldn't have made those marks. And then furthermore, what did fit perfectly, according to this book, again, was a piece of Burke's toy train track that, like, could have also made those marks perfectly. So every piece of evidence pretty much had a counterpoint that wasn't brought up in the documentary.
That's really true. And then also it was an interesting thing too. I was really, because the first half hour, which so much of it was like, not, but like talking about how amazing the parents were and everything like that, which I kind of now looking back, like in the moment I was kind of interested because like I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. Like, that's sweet. But then I was like, not really anything about the case. And if anything too, it's kind of what you're saying. It just skewers you more and more away from them.
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely do like feel for the family overall. Oh, gosh, yeah.
No, that's the thing. No matter what happened, it's an awful situation for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's easier to believe that an intruder did it. You know, it's hard to imagine
a family member doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I totally understand it. I think I wish that the crime scene wasn't so like fucked up.
Well, that's like, because when everyone's like, we can solve this, I'm like, I don't think, I'm like, someone has to come forward, and that's the only way this will get solved. There's no...
Yeah, someone's going to have to come forward, and it's weird, because plenty of people have, and they weren't the ones who did it. No, dude, you weren't even in the country. Like,
that
stop.
Was my, not like, favorite is a weird word for that, but like, when that guy was, he was like, they were like, you weren't in Boulder, but he's like, no, I was in the basement.
Yeah, like, he was like,
you were
no,
in
I
a
did
basement,
it.
Probably. You looked like you don't get a lot of sun, but...
that is true. That is so true.
You weren't in this basement.
Yeah.
I know. And then also the with the ransom note with the 118, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, well, I'm sure he's not the only person at this company who got that raise, so there could have been, or that bonus. So
oh,
anyone
yeah.
who knows the company could have known that, but it was a very particular, like,
super
Christmas
specific amount
type thing. Yeah. Super
the other
specific.
Thing I will say that was interesting to me was, I mean, they did kind of bring up the fact that handwriting experts is not like a science.
But I'm kind of obsessed with that now.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, I could not do the job because I'd be like, what? But I'm like,
yeah, I'd be like, this
so
looks
fun.
The same.
Well, because I always love, like, I just feel like the handwriting scientists are just like waiting. They're like, because like everyone's probably like, you do handwriting. And they're like, just you wait.
Yeah.
You wait. And then when they come to them, they turn to the detective who was like sassing them. And they're like, get me 2 egg bites from Starbucks and like a triple shot soy latte. So they get the last laugh. But that's just an aside on my appreciation of handwriting sleuths.
Yeah, I definitely think it's interesting, especially because I don't think that they're able to say it was definitely Patsy's, but they're not able to rule it out. But it doesn't mean like it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, that's what. And that's kind of the funny, like the head scratcher of why was this 2020 happening? Because they were just like, well, maybe. And it was like very much Annie, maybe, you know, like I thought they were going to end singing Annie, maybe, because like, that's all we got from this. We got no new, we got yeah. no facts, no, nothing really came out of this. And I was just like, I didn't watch it with commercials because I watched it like, I was able to zoom for it. Yeah. I was like, I spent an hour, 40 minutes just to get this. Okay.
Yeah, I wish, like, if this had come out in, what year did that Annie documentary came out? I don't know. If this came out in close succession to that documentary, then I think it would have been useful because it just kind of poked holes at everything that was put forth in that documentary. And I even remember there was a throwaway comment one of them made that was like, this wasn't just a little bonk on the head with a flashlight. And we were like, okay, no one is saying it was a little bonk on the head. That's precisely the point, but whatever.
That's why it's a big issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if this had come out relatively close to that one, I think it would have been interesting to like compare and contrast the two, like a Netflix Hulu Fire Festival situation.
That's true. Yeah. That would actually be a more interesting situation. I know. I'm curious to see what other 2020s are coming out. Like yes. this year, that could like maybe be, because that's what I was kind of wondering. I was like, while I was watching this, I was like, what, like which other cases could actually be utilized with this? Because that's also my thing. I was like, they spent 2 hours on this, and it's like a case that's sort of been covered so much that not a lot could be added or uncovered or given to people. You know what I mean? So
yeah, completely. Ooh, well. Actually, so the week before JonBenet was The Dating Game Killer, which we covered on the podcast.
Ooh.
I wonder if they have anything good coming up. I'm not able to see that. That's lame.
I know. I tried to get to, they don't have like a listing.
Yeah, I know. I want a list of upcoming things, but I can't find that. I will also say that this episode did not need to be 2 hours.
No. Most things don't.
That's true. Yeah. Most true crime documentaries need like a heavy dose of editing.
Yeah. Well, actually, because I mean, it's interesting. And we maybe will touch on this in the following weeks. But there were some parts of Night Stalker I was even kind of like, I'm going on this out a little bit.
I know. The problem is like I'm always texting when I'm watching them. I need to put my phone in another room because otherwise, like, I'm not paying attention at all.
I need to be like Pavlov's dog. I need to get like shocked if I grab my phone or something.
I need that too. Cause I'm like, oh, I'm listening. I'm doing like what my dad does, which is like, he says he's listening to me when he's watching TV, but I'm like, I know you're not.
I know exactly. You have to prioritize. You have to pick one. You have to pick one.
It's true. Ugh. So, okay. I'm halfway through. I think I finished 2 episodes. I think there's 4.
I watched I did like a straight shoot binge weekend and I just like, started to stop, and then I was like, what happened? Yeah, so I might need to go back because like some of it clouded over.
That's impressive. I will say that and this makes me a really bad true crime fan, but I didn't really know very much about the Night Stalker. So
I didn't either.
I think I kind of got more out of it than people who have researched him a lot. Like I didn't even know, I guess I get very confused in this time period because you had the Night Stalker and then you had also the Golden State Killer, who was also the East Area Rapist. And then you had the Hillside Strangler. And these were all different people. And I'm like,
right?
Yo.
And then you had Madonna. Like, there's a lot going on. It's actually interesting. I mean, we won't, because, like, this is too off topic. But they had, like, a lot of different names for the Night Stalker, too, for a while. So that could also have been what confused you.
Yeah, that gets confusing. I was reading I'll Be Gone in the Dark. And there were, like, 16 different names that she referred to the Golden State Killer as, which... I mean, at first he kind of started with a different MO, so like it makes sense, but it was very difficult to keep.
I know it gets mumbo number 5-y after a while. It's like a little bit of Monica in your life, and I'm like, well, who's Monica and who's Jessica? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, I overall, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I am so ready to never discuss this again.
I know. Well, because it's my thing too. And it's sort of just like, and I hate to say like, for lack of a better word, it's just like twisting, like, you know what I mean? Like there's nothing new coming out of it. It's just like rehashing all this stuff that isn't, I can't imagine it's nice for the family. And I can't imagine
Agree.
it's for people who are like interested in true crime and want to learn more about stuff, it kind of lacks the luster for there, because you're not going into it just to like rewatch an interview with Baba Walters. You're going into these things to learn more and to like uncover new facts and like kind of expand like your knowledge about stuff and things like that. And you don't get that from this case anymore. You haven't for years.
Yeah. I'm ready to just kind of like, yeah, never discuss it again. Also, I almost feel like that meme where it's just like, for people who are obsessed with this case, have you read other cases?
That part, like, it's kind of like when people are like, oh my God, like I love, like when it's like, they love, like, they're like, I like sweet white wine. But it's like, there's a lot of different wine you could have. Like, try something else. Interesting.
Attacked.
I know you do like sweet wine. Yeah, I know. I can't, like, my teeth just fall. I don't know why. Sweetness doesn't do it for me.
I feel that. I get it though.
But it's also kind of at the point too where you border where it's like, this is like not gore porn, but it's like, what are we getting from just constantly talking about this case?
Yeah. I get why it became an obsession, because it's very bizarre.
Very bizarre.
It happened Christmas, nothing else is happening.
It's a parent's worst nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah, like a small, like, I mean, like a pretty white child who was in these beauty pageants. I totally get the fascination.
Yeah.
But I don't get why we need to just like rehash it constantly 20, however, five, however many years later.
Yeah.
25.
I think, yeah, 97. Yeah, or I'm so bad at math. I don't know.
Same. That's why we're true crime fans and not math experts.
Yeah. That's why I'm not a handwriting specialist.
Legit. Like, I think if anyone comes through with new evidence or anything like that, it's interesting to hear, but I don't think it's one of those cases where more exposure is going to do anything.
That's the thing, because it's not that. And I feel like that was what my thought too. Like, it's not bringing attention to a case that like happened 2 years ago that people might actually be able to like track down or like really needs more attention and more eyes on it. It's sort of.
So next week we are going to do a case like that. So
yes,
I'm excited.
I know. And because a lot of people like reach out to us about it. So that's how that's how I learn more about it. So I'm very interested to uncover.
Yeah. I'm into doing more cases like that too. Like, we did the Delphi murders, where it's just kind of one of those things where it feels like only a matter of time, because it feels like they have almost all the pieces and they're just looking for someone to come through with one random detail that seems insignificant that's going to like blow it wide open.
Yeah, because then it brings it justice, and it brings there's less dying in vain, and it's, you're able to be like, okay, well, that is solved. And I feel like that's what most true crime listeners and people and most people want. They just want to have like a solved situation.
Yeah. It's like, we want to solve a puzzle. I think for this one, short of some miraculous DNA evidence or some kind of confession, I just don't know what else could be uncovered here.
That's the thing. It's like everything's torn up. Like, it's done. Like, there's no rock unturned.
No, yeah, I kind of feel that way, especially because they just scattered all the stones in the beginning. So
truly, yeah. But if any of you think that there are avenues that should be discussed, please let us know. Like, I mean,
yeah, definitely DM us and ATC Pod. We are working diligently to respond to as many DMs as we humanly can. We have so many, and we love you guys. So thank you for that.
It's perfect. It's so fun. Well, no, because it's hard, because I'm doing Dry January. I love to like sit with a glass of wine and DM. I don't know how I've made it this far. I actually don't know how I've made it this far.
Yeah, with the inauguration? Oh my God.
That might change it. Yeah. Well, luckily, because when I was during the storming of the Capitol, I was high on Sudafed because Hilaria Baldwin, we all know, made me allergic to my Christmas tree. It was a whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
Now, soberly watching the inauguration, I don't know. I might need to pop a wine.
Yeah. Even though it starts at 11, who cares? One of my coworkers was like, if you see me drinking a margarita at 11 a.m., no, you didn't.
It's egregious.
Which is my move. There's going to be wine in my coffee mug for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. It'll be champagne, because I know last inauguration, I was just chugging beer crying. So it'll be.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't even know what I was doing.
Literally, I think I was drinking beer at 11.
Okay. It was a lifetime ago.
God, it truly. Yeah. The bags under my eyes are my stories from that.
Legit. Well, all right, guys, let us know your thoughts if you've watched the 2020 special. Like I said before, just go on abc.com, use your mom's cable login or whatever, because that's what I've been doing for years. And then also post in our Facebook group, join it. It's a lot of fun. Not another true crime group. You'll see our same logo. That's how you know it's us. There's a few with like similar names.
Yeah. And just answer the questions and it's boom, boom. They're very easy questions.
Yes. It's a fun time. Just say you listen to the podcast. It's all good. You can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Lameme.
You can follow me at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
We'll be back next week to discuss some more crimes and crime adjacent things. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening.
Betches.